Good morning, everyone. This is another long-awaited edition of the Dodger Blog's Dodger Audio Podcast. My name is Reese Nielsen. If you've forgotten who I am, my apologies that it's been so long since I've posted last. I have no excuse other than the fact that I am in the throes of planning my own wedding. And by planning, I mean my fiance is planning and I am just running around saying yes, ma'am, a lot. And making sure that all my groomsmen have their suits. Well, it's been a long time, as I said, and I figured I would get off the schneid by talking about last night. Classic finish to an otherwise ho-hum Colorado Rockies experience. Every time a team goes into that place, no lead is safe. No amount of runs seems like it's going to win it. The Dodgers were down by 3 runs. You thought, wow, a doubleheader day that you pretty much looked at and said, if we could somehow survive the first game with our hodgepodge combo of long relief pitchers and then get into the Greinke start, we could be looking at making up 1.5 games on the San Francisco Giants last night. Unfortunately, the bats didn't make it all the way through to the end of the first game, and a late ninth inning rally was snuffed by a few, yet again, close strike calls. The same kind of close strike calls that were getting players and coaches and ejected in St. Louis and all the huffing and puffing in the Dodgers visitors clubhouses along this road trip. Fortunately for the Dodgers, a miraculous ninth inning, bases loaded, 2 outs, 2 strikes, grand slam by rookie sensation Alex Guerrero. The kid continues to come off the bench or come into the game in pinch hit situations, whether it's his first fresh at-bat of the night after having sat cold on the bench all night, or maybe coming in an early inning before for, you know, offensive pop. Clearly, we're not going to call it defensive reasons. But honestly, the kid just continues to swing the bat the same way, whether it's the first inning or the ninth inning with 2 outs and 2 strikes and the game on the line. He literally swings as hard as you can, and he doesn't shorten up with 2 strikes. And if these pitchers continue to make bad mistakes, he's going to continue to hit them out of the ballpark because he's not sacrificing anything on his swing. And I love that about him. I mean, you can't have an entire team of free swingers. You're going to have a lot of strikeouts. But, I mean, I love the guy coming off the bench with just all that pop and just not giving one single iota of care whether or not this ball needed to be a single to get a rally going. I mean, the moment he stepped up to that plate, as a fan and as a person who's followed this team this season, you knew yourself. You're like, all right, this is either a pop fly out or a game go-ahead changing home run. And sure enough, worked himself out of a tough count and into a, this guy's got to throw me a strike situation. The catcher was set up outside. Clearly he missed inside, left it out over the plate. And Alex Guerrero, bang, all the way to center field. And at first you thought that the center fielder for the Colorado Rockies had gotten it because, I mean, his glove was perfectly lined up, particularly with the camera angle, perfectly lined up with the ball, and his wrist flipped over the wall, and then his arm fully extended, and then he fell to the ground, and you still didn't know. Alex Guerrero was on second base, and everybody in the world still did not know whether or not that ball was in his glove or sitting just over the wall in the little grassy area. And oh my gosh, the moment he started to roll over in kind of a, oh, I just wrecked myself pain, you knew he wasn't excited enough to have that ball in his glove. But wow, Dodgers get the split on the doubleheader, makes yesterday feel worlds better than 2 losses. Kind of crazy how one at-bat on one pitch can change an entire outcome like that. The Dodgers are now a game and a half ahead of the San Francisco Giants after last night's loss to the Pirates. I'm not sure if it's the Pirates being hot right now or the Giants suddenly being cold, because apparently everybody was trying to put them in their top one, two, three of the power rankings the last week or so, and now it seems that they've come back to earth. But for whatever it's worth, the Dodgers were able to make up a half game on the Giants yesterday, which is always nice, and they head back to L.A. after tonight's finale in Denver, and will then face the tough St. Louis Cardinals again. And you've got to imagine that the friendly confines of Dodger Stadium should do the Dodgers a little bit of justice, if you will, in terms of all those strike calls that did not go their way. I think Mattingly had a very good point in the sense that home field advantage in any sport is important, but in baseball, there is a human element to calling balls and strikes and the umpires, which are not reviewable. And it seems that the strike zones tend to change a little bit from what the expected strike zone had been throughout the game. Seems to change towards the end of close games when everybody's on their feet and screaming, and the human element itself is just a very real thing. And whether the umpire is trying to go home or call it a day or appease the crowd or force the hitters to be more aggressive, whatever it is, something changes. And I think that if that's going to be the case, then the Dodgers will definitely benefit from getting home, because it's hard to play baseball against the St. Louis Cardinals. They're built from top to bottom, one of the deepest teams in the history of the sport, year in and year out, and they've got great pitching. And when you're batting against great pitching and a moving strike zone, it's really tough. So I think the Dodgers will benefit from getting home. I think they can go into this final game in Colorado with a sigh of relief. No monkey on the back tonight. I think the Cats come out free swinging, and Jock Peterson continues to just rake the ball. This kid is a rookie. He's not even into the month of June, and he already has as many home runs as Yasiel Puig had his entire 2014 season. I can't say enough about this guy. Mike Trout might be the complete package, but I can't wait to see a interleague series between these two teams and see Jock Peterson and Mike Trout face off. It's just going to be really fun. It looks as if Zach Greinke is starting to come back to earth a little bit. His consecutive starts to start a season in terms of quality starts ended last night and fell short of record breaking. But honestly, I'm satisfied with where the Dodgers are at, because Hector Olivera was the reason behind the head-scratching Juan Uribe trade that's happened since we last spoke. Alberto Callaspo is a more versatile player if you look at the ability for him to play any part of the field. And while he might not be as good of a hitter as Juan Uribe is, he's a switch hitter. So he just gives Don Mattingly more flexibility in the lineup, and that's really the only way you could defend that trade. And ultimately, it was all made because they were trying to eliminate the logjam at third base, because Hector Olivera is coming soon. He's just wrapping up in the next few days his extended spring training after clearing his physical. This cat, if you've seen pictures, is huge. And he looks like A-Rod-esque in his stature, and I'm very excited to see him on the field. Looks like he's going to go up to one of the minor league affiliates in the next few days. And surprise, surprise, at the same time, the Cubans are crashing the party in the minor leagues, because in the next few days, Yasiel Puig's about to take on his minor league stint and try to make it back to the bigs. So that's it for today. Happy Wednesday to all of you. It's hump day. Let's do this. Go Dodgers.